listening to my daddy's show.
Welcome, Cardinals fans, to Conversations with C70. Please welcome your host, Daniel Shoptaw. Click and play, familiar tone. Shoptaw speaks here on my headphones. Yeah, he plays it calm, but that man is funky. Yeah, but what can I say? I'm a C70 junkie. Yeah, he'll take you on the team with the blogging scene. Talk the moves of the Cardinals and what they mean. He always has a real cool guest. He'll talk the Redbirds for all the rest. He's got his awesome kids to lead it off. And now he's got this sweet theme song. A blogging, tweeting baseball man. Sit back and listen, you'll become a fan. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. Now your host, Daniel Shoptaw.
You are listening to my day show. Go Cardinals.
Hello, and welcome to a long overdue version of Conversations with C70. I have to remember which show I'm doing, but it's great to have a chance to talk again with Jamie Pogue. The Cardinals bullpen catcher. We've done this discussion with him every year since he took over the role as Mike Matheny was hired back in 2012. So it's been a lot of fun to get catch up with him every year and talk about what has happened, what is going to happen, and things of that nature. So we got a chance to talk tonight. This is Saturday, February 17th, as we record this. We had a chance to just chat a little bit about what's going on. Hopefully it comes through clear. It was cutting in and out a little bit as we talked on the phone, but hopefully you'll get the gist of it, and you'll find it fairly interesting. So without further ado, there we go.
And for the seventh straight year, if it's starting to get pitchers and catchers back, we're talking with the Cardinals bullpen catcher, Jamie Pogue. Jamie, again, thanks for joining me tonight, and it's good to talk to you again.
My pleasure, and likewise.
Like I said, we've been doing this for 7 years now, and there's probably some people that maybe haven't heard in the past. So before we get too far, why don't we just go over exactly, again, what the bullpen catcher does, because, you know, a lot of people just think it's warming up pitchers, but it's more than that.
Yeah, at least for me it is. You know, obviously that's kind of the biggest or perceived most important part of the job anyway is I'll catch the starting pitchers bullpen sessions early in the day. I will a lot of times long toss with the starting pitcher for that night before he goes to the bullpen, and usually start warming him up in the bullpen, and then Yadi will take over for the second half of that. And then obviously whenever the phone rings during the game, warm up relievers to come in. But I'm fortunate that I'm given a little bit of freedom and responsibility at the same time to do some other things to try and help the club. I do all the defensive stuff with the catchers during spring training, all the guys we have in camp, and then Yadi, I'll do some work with him during the year, but he's playing so much that we don't do a ton of drill work with him, but then trying to keep whoever his backup is for that year sharp so that the two or three games they get in a month, they can can go in and perform. And I say that a little bit tongue in cheek, but there's times where he just seemingly plays, you know, for weeks on end. So so it can be a challenge for those guys to keep their timing. Obviously from an offensive standpoint, but from a defensive standpoint too. So do a bunch of that stuff. And then earlier in the day, I do a lot of the printing of bench reports and different analytical information, and then typing up, lineups and printing all that stuff out for, Mike Matheny and any of the other coaches that need all that information. So there, yeah, it's definitely a lot more than just sitting back there and catching the ball and throwing it back, for me, which keeps me involved and I really enjoy it. So, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, I was about to say, you probably wouldn't want him to, I mean, obviously in the major leagues, he'll do whatever, but getting that chance to expand the repertoire, if you will, it gives it a little bit of variety as well, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and again, talking to some of the other guys around the league, they don't get that extra responsibility. So I know for them, they basically, you know, when they get to the yard every day, they basically just sit around and wait until one of the players needs something. Someone needs to go play catch or whatever it might be. So I think, you know, that would definitely be a little less exciting than what I get to do for sure.
Yeah. Well, last year, again, not the ending that you have gotten accustomed to, you know, coming in 2012 and up until the last couple of years, you've been playing in October. Just as an overview, I mean, what was last year like? How was it different than some of the other years? I know it seemed like the team, you know, when we're watching it, the team was struggling in some facets. I mean, was it just a different atmosphere, different clubhouse, or what last year?
I don't know that I would really point the finger at the clubhouse. I think that can become a somewhat easy out for, especially in the media, you know, that anytime there's any point where a team's probably not playing as well as they'd like, then if two people on that team don't see eye to eye about something, then all of a sudden that becomes really blown up and talked about as, you know, a poor chemistry or poor clubhouse mix or whatever it might be, where those same disagreements or not seeing eye to eye can be happening on winning teams and the culture for those teams is fine. So I think it was just, you know, first of all, I think that people, you know, and me included as a coach, we've been so spoiled with how good our teams have been that, there's a lot of fan bases and cities around the league that would love to trade, our last 2 years and let those be their quote unquote bad seasons when, you know, we were 10 games over 500. The 1 year, and then last year we were still, you know, once again, we were over 500. We were a winning ball club. So I hesitate to just say, oh, you know, kind of a we're in big trouble and had a terrible year. Obviously we didn't achieve what we set out to do, which every year here is to win a World Series. And, you know, we failed to make the playoffs, like you said, for the second straight year. I guess going back to the question, there was a few games at points during the year that, we didn't finish out, you know, whether it's bullpen or defense or then some games where, you know, we couldn't come up with the key hit. But it felt like almost every night that we're in a tight ball game, right? And, a lot of one run losses, which, you know, again, some people will say, well, you know, you got to learn how to win those ones. But the fact of the matter is when you're in one run games, whether you're winning them or losing them, those are games that could probably go either way. So the season could have easily ended up differently with, you know, just a few small things being, being different. That being said, I think the front office did a tremendous job in the offseason to address a couple of needs that we had kind of identified at the end of the season as a staff. Obviously bringing Ozuna in, a true middle of the order bat that's going to strike fear in anyone that's on the mound and be someone for opposing managers and pitching coaches to have to think about and game plan for. And then the bullpen is, I mean, you know, you look at the guys that are potentially going to break camp with us in the pen, and it's, I mean, 1 through 7 or 8, whatever we end up carrying, are going to be high quality major league relievers. So I'm excited to get going and confident that the results will be different this year.
You've spent, I guess, what, a little bit about a week down in Jupiter now. Excuse me. What have you seen so far? I mean, again, like you say, out of the new guys like Gregerson and Norris, are you still just kind of getting a feel for those guys right now?
Yeah. During bullpen time, I've been, you know, half the catchers have been catching bullpens, and I've had the other half of the guys doing some defensive work on other fields. I have been able to be in the bullpen for short spurts here and there. I get to see just a couple pitches of Gregerson today, and then some of Leon and Norris. And both of those guys looked on point. You could tell that they came in ready. They were both spotting the ball well and just looked real clean mechanically. So, again, excited to see more of them and get to watch them compete for us and help us win.
You know, when you're looking at the rotation, you know, there's question marks, because there's always question marks with any pitchers. But I guess the biggest ones I think fans are looking at right now is Adam Wainwright. What do you, I mean, I don't know how much you've seen him, you know, around the last week or so, but what are you thinking we're going to see out of him this year?
I will say this, my first day here in Jupiter, it was before pitchers and catchers had even officially gotten underway, and Adam grabbed me and asked me to go play catch. We went out and threw, and I commented to him after. I said, man, that looks like it's supposed to, where, you know, it was free and easy for him to play catch, which by the end of the year last year, you know, I mean, bless his heart, he was going out there on guts and determination, and that was about it. You could tell that he was hurting pretty bad, but he was, you know, trying to do whatever he could to get people out, and it just, you could tell when he was making pitches that it didn't look right, and he knew it was hurting him quite a bit. So it was just exciting for me to be able to see him play catch and just be free. And like I said, his arm was working well. I know Yachty caught him yesterday. No, that would have been today, actually. He caught him. And he said, you know, Yachty's words were he looked good. He said his command was good, and he said it looked a whole lot different than last year. So I think as long as he's healthy, he's gonna battle and compete and give us innings and a chance to win every 5 days. So I'm excited, just because I know there's been a lot of talk, and most of it negative. I've seen him battle and compete, and I know how he works. So I would never bet against Adam Wainwright, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was at the game last year when he faced the Braves, and you could tell he was, you know, throwing low 80s or whatever, but he was still able to do enough to get the job done. And so if he's got his full arsenal, as it were, and again, we don't expect him to be the Cy Young guy he used to be, but you know, just being healthy has got to be huge for him with the experience that he has going around the league.
Right. For sure. And I think that's the key. I think as long as he's healthy, he's going to do a good job for us. And like you said, you know, I don't think people should expect the, you know, like kind of like you said, the guy that was in the Cy Young talk year in and year out, you know, those years maybe behind him, but again, that's time will tell that too. I wouldn't bet against him, like I said, but I think he's going to be better off than what most people are expecting is my guess.
We talked a little bit about what the front office did on the field this winter, but they did a lot with your compatriots there on the coaching staff. You know, a lot of changing of positions and a lot of new faces. You know, what was that like for you, I guess, listening, you know, hearing this upheaval? And then how have you, I mean, as you've gotten to know these new guys, what are you thinking?
Maddox is the only one that I didn't know coming into this year. Willie McGee's been around in spring training and was actually in St. Louis for, I think, two or three different times for a couple days last year and been kind of roving around minor league places, working with some of our minor league outfielders. So I've gotten to know him a little bit. Brian Eversgaard, the new bullpen coach, was actually his first year as a coach, transitioning from player to coach, was a team that I've played on in A-ball back in 2001. So another guy I've known for quite a while. And then obviously Akendo coming back, someone that I'm real familiar with. You're sad to see some of your teammates and friends that are having to transition into other things or going to other places. But at the same time, it's exciting to see. It'll be exciting to watch Willie work with base runners and outfielders and hear a different perspective from a new pitching coach and a chance to learn some more and new things. So I think exciting all the way around, not just for me, but for everybody involved.
Have you seen, I know that you know, there's some media reports that, you know, Mike Maddox is having a little bit more control over some of the drills and things going on this with the pitchers. Have you seen a lot of changes, or are they just kind of minor, you know, tweaks?
Yeah, I say more control. I mean, he had an idea how he wanted it to look and run. But I think in the past, Derek Lilliquist had input on that stuff as well. So, you know, I mean, Mike Matheny has kind of let Maddox kind of run with what he wanted the pitchers to do, at least for these first few days when it's just been pitchers and catchers as far as how he wanted the PFP stuff to look and that kind of thing. But I wouldn't say it's a whole lot of new or different stuff that they're covering. But again, just a different perspective and a kind of a slightly different way to organize it, but a lot of the same material.
You know, if I'm thinking this right, it's you and John Mabry are the only guys that have been there the whole time that Mike's been the manager. Do you kind of feel like the old guard at times, seeing these guys come and go?
I did. That was one of the first thoughts I had when I kind of heard about all the changes that we were making and. Obviously, you know, with McKendo being back, he was here originally, but he missed those last 2 years. So, like you said, John and I are the only ones left, along with Mike, of course. So, the three amigos, if you will, and we'll definitely don't feel like old guards so much. I just still have so much respect for how much time all these other guys have put in the game, and I'm still at the low end of that from pretty well everyone on the staff anyway. So, I did think of it that we were the only three that have been here for, this will be our seventh year now all together. But, you know, it's been neat to be able to meet a lot of new people and hear different voices. And again, just try and learn and pick up as much as I can from each one of them. But at the same time, miss some of the guys that have transitioned into other roles.
You know, like you said, you got into this, you know, really not knowing what it all was about, I think, in 2012. Over this time period, what would you say has the thing that you've learned the most, I guess, or the biggest thing that you've learned over your time as the bullpen catcher and coach?
I guess it's just the amount of attention to detail and how the guys that are, you know, they're the best in the world and how they still focus on the little tiny things and the amount of work and repetition that even they put in. You know, it's one of those things where you wish you could let all the kind of younger kids that are playing come and see how hard these guys are working. And again, they're blessed with the most talent at this game of anyone in the world. And still the amount of pride they take in the craft and doing not just most of the things the right way, but how they pride themselves in just everything. And if there's any little thing that they can do different or improve upon to give themselves an advantage or to better themselves, they're constantly hungry for it, looking for it, and when they find something or think they figure something out, they put it in the time and energy to make that come to fruition.
Well, and one of those young guys is going to be coming up is Carson Kelly. You were talking about trying to keep the backups, you know, fresh, get the rust off of them during the year. You know, that's been a little bit different in the past because you've had, you know, veterans like, you know, Eric Fryer and others. You've got this young kid that still probably needs a little bit of developing or needs some repetition. How does that factor into what your plans are for him this year?
Well, yeah, he's obviously, like you said, a big time prospect and talent. And a little younger than Fryer or Tony Cruz before that, and Brian Pena, obviously. So for him, it's just going to be probably doing maybe even a little more. He's young and his body's a little fresher than what those other guys were. Plus, you know, he wasn't drafted originally as a catcher, so he's still kind of learning and developing his own style. So I'll help with that, and we'll try different things. But probably just be on top of it even a little more, whereas some of those veteran guys that have been through it before, it was kind of sitting down with them and creating a plan together. And I think with Carson, it'll be between Mike and myself kind of developing that plan, just because he hasn't been through it before. So we'll kind of have the plan and just kind of say, you know, here's what we're going to do. And I know he's eager to do it. He's a great worker. And he's going to do whatever he needs to do to make sure he can help the club.
Yeah, and maybe this has been in the media and I haven't seen it, but has there been any thought, or I know that things are still kind of in development, but any thought of him being like a designated catcher for a certain person in the rotation to get him in a little bit more often?
No, I haven't seen anything or heard anything to that effect. I think that he'll work on the side, catching a lot of the starters at times in their bullpen work between starts, and then even probably a few nights a week, a couple nights a week at least, that he'll come down to the bullpen, say halfway through the game, and just to catch some of the relievers as they warm up to go in the game, so he stays familiar with their stuff and different cues that each guy has. I think he's going to be ready to catch pretty well anybody, and that a lot of that will, he's going to have to play to stay a little bit sharp, but also some of that will be determined on how Yachty's feeling and whatnot. I think that it can get a little dangerous if you just have him catching one guy all the time, and then, whatever it is, if something happens where he needs to start catching a little more often than other guys that he's not familiar with, and or if, then that means Yachty's, not catching somebody for an extended period of time as well. So I haven't heard anything like that, and if I had to guess, I would say that probably wouldn't be the case.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know you're not, I say that, I don't think you're on Twitter. I know that, that a lot of the players are, and it seems like they've been a little bit more active on social media, this spring. Are they cognizant of social media, or is that something that's just kind of a person by person thing? Some are and some aren't.
I think it's more of, some are and some aren't. You're correct in saying that I am not a Twitter guy. I have enough going on, enough things to read and get through that, I just choose not to succumb to that outlet. But it's a great avenue for some of them. It's a tremendous conduit for, the players to connect with fans, for sure. I know that, and I know there's quite a few guys, I think, Instagram stuff and all that. I think it can be a tremendous tool to help promote the game of baseball and individuals within the game, as long as it's used, obviously, the right way. And that's things that our guys need to be extremely cognizant of and mindful of anytime they're using any type of social media.
Yeah. Well, and you can let Tyler Lyons know we've got a hashtag for him if he ever wants to search Twitter for it. So, call him the patron pitcher.
He's
so
one of the guys that kept his number. So
yeah, he better have. I might have to make a trip otherwise. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we had a few guys change, but some of our higher number relievers, Brevia, Bowman, Lyons, all kept their numbers. So it was interesting. It was, like I said, there was just a few guys. Carson changed his number. I think Luke Weaver changed his number. And then I guess the rest of the guys are just the new guys that have
well, and then Paul DeJong had to move his number since Kendo was coming back. So.
Right.
Didn't figure he probably did. And it's kind of interesting that, like you say, those relievers seems like after you traditionally, I guess, once you've been on the team for a while, you try to get your number a little bit lower, but they seem to be perfectly happy with what they've got.
Right, yeah, and I asked Tyler. He said that they asked him at some point during the off season if he wanted to change. He said, "No, I'm fine with what I've got." So some of that can be, for some of those guys, can be superstition-ish type things. He obviously had a good career early. But last year was obviously a breakout year for him, and just the phenomenal numbers that he put up. And I think some of them, they just don't want to change anything after a season like that. They don't want to give the quote unquote baseball gods any reason for them not to repeat it. So.
Yeah. If it's not broke, don't fix it. So.
Right. I'll make sure I let them know you're happy with them.
Well, I appreciate that. And I assume you're going to stick with your number, right?
No, I actually lost mine. Miles Michaelis, the free agent we signed for the rotation, wanted 39, so he got 39. I'm now number 94, which came about, what I did, I took my wife and all three daughters and added the numbers for their month, day, and year, for their birth dates, and just treated each number individually, and added them all up. So I just basically wrote all those numbers down and then just added them all up together, and we came up with 94. So, that's my new number, and, I don't think I have to worry about that one being taken.
No, you're probably good. You're probably good with that. That's a really cool way to come up with one, because I've always wondered how players and coaches and stuff, especially, you know, sometimes you get one you've had for a while, but if you do have to change like that, there's nothing necessarily to cling on to. So that was really cool.
Right. Yeah. And I figured, you know, if I have something a little higher, then I won't have to worry about changing it again. And, I was happy that the 9, because 9 was kind of my thing. Growing up playing, I was number 9, and then when I went to college and started playing in pro ball, I wore 29, because usually the jersey numbers would go up with the sizes, so the 9s being smalls or mediums wouldn't fit over my belly real well, so I was 29 whenever I could get it. And then luckily when I started here, they didn't even ask me a number. They just gave me number 39, which was great. So, I still have a 9 in my number, and, that works out. So.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, Jamie, I won't hold you any longer. I do appreciate you taking your time, especially as, the camps have opened and you're staying very busy. So, I look forward to many more years of these conversations, before the season.
That's fantastic. I appreciate you calling and including me. It's been great. I always enjoy it.
And again, my thanks to Jamie for joining us yet again and taking the time, especially since pitchers and catchers have reported, and I know he's quite busy with all that's going on there as they start to get ready for the 2018 season. You know, I'm assuming that if you are listening to this show, this isn't the only place that you try to find me, but if it is, it's been a long time, and you really should follow my other podcasts. You can find me at Meet Me at Mutual. You'll find that on iTunes, but also at bdib.podbean.com. And you also got that. I do that one with Alan Medlock. And then you've got me and Tara Wellman basically every week. We usually do it Sunday nights. Gateway to Baseball Heaven. You'll find that at gatewaytbh.podbean.com and also on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, review, all that kind of stuff. I want to do more conversations, but with those two shows coming on a pretty regular basis, it makes it difficult to squeeze something else in. But, you know, as the season goes on, we'll see if we can't do a little bit more discussions with some folks and maybe some out of some other bloggers from other teams. Speaking of, as you may know, one of the things that I do with bloggers of other teams is the Playing Pepper series. That will be starting March 5th at the blog. We started a little later this year because of, you know, the fact that nobody wanted to sign free agents. And I figured as soon as I sent off and tried to put up questions, people would start signing, which is somewhat what we've seen this week. We've seen, you know, Jaime Garcia sign with the Blue Jays. We've seen Cashner go to the Pod. No. Where did he go? Orioles. Sorry. He was a Padre. Anyway, some others have started to sign over the last bit. So, of course, there's still some very big names out there, which could adjust some people's answers. So, we're going to do March 5th. We'll do two teams a day. We're going to do the AL East the first week, or the East divisions. We're going to do the East in the first week, the West in the second week, the Central the last week, and that should run us right up to, pretty much right up to opening day. Speaking of things at the blog, not only do we have that, but you may have noticed, probably didn't, because you probably didn't read it, but if you did, this week we also kicked off what's going to be a season-long post series, looking at the fact this is the 20th anniversary of Mark McGwire's 70th home runs. you know, being that that's part of my internet handle, it seemed like a good idea to take a look at it. So, you know, we kind of got an overview this week as spring training started, but well, every day, you know, that corresponds with a home run back in 98, we'll have a post up about it. And, you know, a lot of it's just going to be kind of details from the games, because, you know, a lot of those home runs we don't remember, but the ones that we do, we'll have some personal memories and some other thoughts to it and things of that nature. So I've got the first nine or so prepped, I think. So hopefully I can get those, stay ahead of those enough that I'm not scrambling at the last minute to do them, but we'll see. So lots of other things that should be going on at the blog. And as the spring gets going, you know, we'll try to get my writing back up a little bit more. And hopefully, you know, there's plenty of things to write about. So, you know, this is a part of the conversation, again, as I'm rambling here. If you have listened to past conversations with C70, which, again, we did all of two last year, so you may not remember, or you may not have ever listened to them, finding this now because of the difference in things. Usually this is where I'm talking about what I think about what's going on, most of the new local news. But, you know, I've done that. Alan and I recorded a show last night. I think we fairly caught up on things. So I'll hit the high points if you didn't want to listen to an hour and a half of him and I talking. But, you know, I'm still optimistic about this team. I still think there's a lot that, you know, there's a lot that could go wrong, but I think there's a lot of things that could go very right. I think that the offense is going to be significantly better than it was last year, or more consistent. Let's put it that way. Because the second half of the year last year, the offense was not the problem. The pitching staff and the bullpen were. That's possible that we'll have the bullpen be an issue again this year. It could be the rotation. You know, Jamie and I talked about what Adam Wainwright might bring. If he's not going to pitch as well as, you know, his body's going to sound like he's allowing him to right now. And again, it's the first bits of spring and we'll see how long that lasts. But it is good to know that there's some reason to believe that at least he's looking like Adam Wainwright of old, which is not what we saw at the end of last year. But you know, the bullpen and the rotation may not be as strong as they were last year. Although I think the bullpen's better probably overall than it was last year. You know, they may win a lot more 5-4, 6-5 games. But I don't think they're going to start off 3-9 like they did last year. I think they're better than an 83-win team. I think they're 87, 88, 89. And I don't, 90 or so would not surprise me either. Now, can they catch the Cubs? I don't know. Obviously, the Yu Darvish thing did not help things, but I still think that, I don't know. Pardon me, maybe it's just my natural bias against the Cubs, but I still feel like they're a bit overrated, or at least we have put them on a little bit more of a pedestal. But that said, they're a very good team. And so, you know, they've got to be the favorite for this division, and we'll see if the Cardinals can knock them off. We'll see if the Cardinals can pass the Brewers, to see what this all looks like as the season gets going. But right now, it's a team that should be kind of interesting to watch, and that's not always what we could say last year. You know, when the offense was mired, and, you know, the bullpen would blow up, and it just was almost like a slog to watch it sometimes. I think this year, assuming Ozuna brings the power that we think he's supposed to bring, I think that this is a team that can, you know, at least put some runs up. And I think we find it more entertaining, which, you know, depends on the kind of fan you are, but I think a lot of people do find it more entertaining when the team's putting up runs. You know, you want them to win first and foremost, but given the choice, I think a lot of people would like to see the offense. I mean, I love pitching. I really do. And, you know, I always want to see the Cardinals have a good pitching staff. But, you know, I think a lot of people, and if the game feels more like they're involved when the offense is going, I guess. It doesn't feel like it's just a shutdown thing. And part of that was because, you know, if you're getting shut down, it should be by a good pitcher. And that wasn't always the case last year. So, I like where they're at. I'm very interested to see what all this stuff on paper translates to on the field, and we'll see that very soon. You know, Friday, so, you know, less than a week from right now, there's a game against the Marlins. There's another game a week from today. Those are games I'd have to pull up the schedule, but I imagine that Saturday game especially is on TV. Most of the games are, and if they're not, they're on radio. We'll have a chance to see some players play. And now, you know, these early games, you get to see, you know, Yachty or the starting pitcher or whoever for like, you know, an inning, maybe two, but. And then you see a whole bunch of guys that you're never going to see. Well, they're the guys that Kyle Reese gets all excited about, which, you know, I know he's heading down to Jupiter in a couple of weeks and watching all those prospects. And I look forward to seeing all the information that he brings back there. But, you know, we're not going to get a full handle on what this team looks like in the first week or two, just because you see a lot of guys that are going to play at Double A or, you know, at best. So, but, you know, even that's kind of interesting. I mean, like I said, I think from listening to Kyle and Colin Garner over at Redbird Daily, especially in their podcast, Prospect to Be Named Later, got a better idea of some names, at least, some guys that are interesting to watch. And those guys do a great job of filling in what we should be excited about and who we should be excited about. And I think that gets to carry over into spring a little bit. Everybody looks for different things when they're watching spring training ball. You know, some people are looking to see, you know, who's making the cut. Some people are looking to see who's going to surprise. Some people just want to know, you know, is Adam Wainwright's arm still attached? Is Matt Bowman's arm still attached? Things like that. You know, very interested. I'm very interested to see if there's any change in how Mike Matheny manages with the new coaching staff. If we can tell the difference. Adding Mike Maddux, adding Jose Oquindo back. Hopefully defensively we can, because we've always, you know, we've always said over the past couple of years, it's really sad to think that Oquindo is the main reason that the defense is not as up to par as we've seen. And it didn't feel that that should be, you know, I think that's when we talked about it, especially in 2 years right after he left, in 16, it felt like we were giving too much credit to a coach, not even a player that's on the field. But as time has gone by, I mean, and even the players have indicated, you know, there's a lot to that. And so, you know, we'll see if that is the case. We'll see if his ability to position players, whether his, you know, his teachings or whatever it may be, we'll see if that helps them be better defensively. And if they're better defensively, obviously that helps the bullpen and helps the starting rotation. And, you know, that only helps this team, because that's, you know, the offense is going to be there. I think they're going to score runs. But if they can keep runs from scoring, then they can be really, really good. And we'll see how much of that they can do. Trying to think if there's anything else, or if I can just, you know, pad this out a little bit more, see if I can get it to, you know, an hour or something like that. But I don't think so. I think that's about it. Anyway, again, you know, pretty much anything of note we've covered on Meet Me Mutual. I had it blanking out there for a minute. Meet Me Mutual, and, you know, Tara and I will be carrying a lot of the covering stuff on Gateway. She's been off doing some graphics work for the Olympics, which is very cool. And so we've been off for the last couple of weeks. We'll be back either the end of February, beginning of March. You know, Alan and I just keep plugging along. We don't know when to stop. So it's fun. And if you're not listening to those shows, I really hope you will, because that's where you're going to hear me more often, which may be why you're not listening to those shows. I get that. But you should listen for Alan and for Tara then. I mean, that's really what it boils down to, see if you can mute my portions of it. But anyway, well, like I said, we'll try to do some more of these. I'm glad to dust off the old theme song though, and hopefully you've enjoyed it as well. So until whenever next time is, maybe the All-Star break when we do that round table panel again, and I'd like to think we'd do one before then, but I'm not promising anything. Until that next time, well, we'll talk at you later. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. Oh.